walk in the light. Beautiful life. Somewhere the dew drops, a mercy shine bright. Shine on. Oh,
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the glory of God. Shine on around us. By day and by night, oh, shine, shine all around us. That's the glory of God. Shine all around us. Father, we need it. Oh, Lord, we need it. Won't you shine all around us? Shine all around us. Can't stop singing him. He's the light that's shining in our hearts. He's the light in darkness.
He's the light. I'm so glad he is the light.
Are you glad about it this morning? I know the turkey is still sitting on your spirit right now, but won't you give God glory?
He's the light. I'm so glad he's the light. He's the light that shines in our hearts. Oh, Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Hallelujah. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light.
declaration. Declare there's none like you, Jesus. One more time, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh Lord. We give you high praise. About your goodness. I'm just talking to him right now. And your mercy, oh God. And your love toward us. Praise waits for you, oh God. Thank you for this salvation. God, we thank you for this reconciliation. And oh God, we're so grateful for the privilege of this fellowship. And we just pray right now, oh God, that you would speak to our hearts. God, your very word of truth to shape us and mold us continually, oh God, in the likeness of your Son. That, oh God, more than what we could ever say or do, anything that might ever even begin to come out of our mouth, God, you might be glorified in the very reflection of your Son in us. God, be thou glorified. Be thou magnified. Crucify my flesh. Oh God, that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 And we give honor to God this morning. Man, we felt that turkey spirit up in here. Man, I ate enough. I know it's weighing heavy on me. But guess what? Man, we think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for us. Amen. Guess what? Our soul has there's a heart's cry that goes beyond how you feel at the moment, what you see, what you're going through, what you've experienced, what somebody has said about you. What somebody has done to you, what somebody thinks about you, man, our soul cries out, hallelujah. And thank God for this salvation. Thank God for this reconciliation. I'll say it till I die. Thank God for this fellowship. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Man, we pray not to be before you long this morning. We're going to ask that you have your Bibles. Please turn with us. We're going to look at three. We're going to reference three passages of Scripture. Amen. One has been the theme that the Lord laid on Pastor Wright's heart in Isaiah 43:7. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 18. And then Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. Amen. Starting in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. Amen. There are some things I'm going to ask that you just circle and highlight. Amen. Even as we read it, because, man, I was sharing Pastor Wright the other day that sometimes the Lord just overwhelms you to the point where you know you can't get up and preach it within whatever time that is allotted to us. Amen. But there are things that God just wants us to, not things, everything in his word. He wants us to meditate on these things. And these things, amen, we ask that you would just circle these things and go back to your closet, man, and think on and focus on and reflect on what God is saying to every single one of us. Amen. In 43:7, he says, everyone that is called, circle called, by my name. That's identity. For I have created him for, circle that word for, we're going to talk about it, my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Circle the word made, please, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 18. Paul writes, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us, circle, to himself by Jesus Christ. Circle that whole thing, to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For, and this is our focus text, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness, circle that, of God in him, circle in him. I know it's a lot of circling, y'all, but this stuff, I'm telling you, is important. And then finally, in Romans chapter 5, I'm sorry, Romans chapter 8. Starting at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are, circle, the called, according to his circle purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed, circle it, to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also, there it is again, called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to read that 2 Corinthians 5:21 one more time, and then we're going to get on with it. He says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, for this purpose, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In him, in him. If we were to choose a topic for this text, we want to talk about glorified. We're glorified, or just not we. Man, I'm not even going to put a person on this thing. Glorified through the substitutionary life of Christ. Glorified through the substitutionary life of Christ. Amen. We've already prayed. And, you know, as a parent, we raise our children, Man, we pour into our children. We teach them what's right. We teach them the difference from right and what's wrong prayerfully. We bring them to church and we implant the word of God in them. But whether or not you're a parent that's in the church or a parent that's out of church, man, there's a certain sense of pride and honor that you feel when you see your child reflecting and when you see your child exhibiting those things that you have implanted in them. There is no greater honor, and it's not a self-seeking type of glory or a vain type of pride, but really the true pleasure, at least for me as a parent, is not when I look at them and say, oh yeah, he got that, you know, because me and my wife will joke sometime, right? They got that from you. Or he got that, you know what I mean? But no, but this is not a vain type of thing, right? But it's the beauty and the pleasure that you derive out of that. It's seeing the fact that what you poured into them blesses them. When they exhibit that principle, that teaching, that thing that you've engrafted and that you've told them, man, I think about my father all the time. It's probably not a day. I'm serious. Man, that I don't think about him. And I think about the fact that I just thought I wasn't listening to him. Right. That's right. Right. When I think, man, and it's like all the stuff that I was deliberately trying to ignore. Those are the things that because of me, but those are the very things that are being lived out in my life today. Because of what he taught me over and over, and when I didn't want to hear it, over and over again. And as parents, there's a certain pride and joy that we take when we see our children saved. When we see our children living for God. When we see the absolute demonstration and the reflection of what's been taught to them in them, it's that very reflection that brings glory. That's the glory. That's what we want to talk about. That's what we want to talk about today. And when we look at, in the dictionary, what this word glory means or represent, it means or it represents high, being a high renowned or honor, right? And then another definition said it's taking pleasure in, right? And what the Lord was just laying on my heart is, you know, when we talk about God and his glory, right? The fact of the matter is the first, when we talk about being renowned and honor, he didn't need us for that. He's God Jehovah. He's God all by himself. He's the self-existent God. He was already honored before he, there was honor and glory in God before he created us. The second is what he created us for. And like the parent who takes pleasure and pride and seeing the very reflection of themselves in their children, there's nothing that brings God greater glory. When he looks at us and he sees the very reflection of his son, here's the thing. Both of those things are grounded in one thing, in Christ Jesus. In our relationship with him. No other place. No other place. No other thing. In other words, there's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves that will bring glory to God. Amen. Outside of the life of Jesus Christ being reflected, being magnified in us and reflected in us. The only action or the only act in the process of bringing God glory we can do is to submit and surrender and allow the life of Jesus Christ to live in and through us. Listen, y'all, that's the only way God is glorified. To glorify God is to simply reflect his son. Amen. That's God's glory. That's his glory. The life of Christ magnified in us and manifested through us. Listen, thank God. All this, choir fellowship, choir singing to the glory of God, us getting happy and joyful, right, and emotional. I thank God for it because it's a reflection. It's us reflecting on what God has done for us. I thank God for that. But listen, it's not about what we do. Listen, glory is not something we have to give to God. And I'll get to praise and worship because it's different. It's different. That's our natural response to the glory. But it's not about what we do. Listen, y'all, it's what we are positionally. 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 In Christ Jesus, we are God's glory. All the hand clapping, foot stomping, shouting, jumping on, jumping over pews, hanging from chandeliers, and all that stuff people tend to do in church, that's not what brings God glory. We just heard it in Romans 8. It's us continually being conformed to the likeness of his son. Glory is manifest and experienced through fellowship. This is our text, Isaiah 43:7. What does he say? He says, even everyone that is called by my name. He's talking about identity. He's talking about our identity in Christ Jesus. He's talking about for everybody who knows who they are in Christ, who've accepted the call, this call to salvation and reconciliation. He says, now I'm going to do a work of manifesting my glory. He says, for I have created that person. I have created him. Those who have been called by my name, I have created them for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. He's saying two things, y'all. He's saying he's letting us know his purpose, and he's letting us know his process. His purpose. He says, I have created him for. Listen, because what we do is we read that and we say, we read that and we interpret that as he has created us to. He did not create us to glorify him. That means that there's something we can do or something that we actually have in ourselves and that we can bring forth to God that will actually give him glory. Nothing. So what does he do? What he's done is once we've been called and identified and been saved and been reconciled, what he does then is he forms and shapes the life of Christ in us. And it's the life of Jesus Christ that brings him glory. It's not something we give, y'all. And I know we say it in church, man, we gonna give God glory. No. We have to line up positionally in order for God to receive glory. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Second, it's the process or how. He says it right here in this verse. He says, for I have created him and I've made him. He's talking about our being conformed. That's why he prefaces it by saying those who are first called. Those who have responded to the call and have been identified in Christ Jesus. In other words, he's saying, I'm recreating them for my glory. I'm forming them. I'm making them. When he speaks there, he's speaking in what's called the present active imperative. And only God can speak that way. Because God transcends time and he sits outside of time. He's not bound by time and space like we are. Therefore, when God speaks, he speaks over all of creation in all of existence. So when he says something once, it goes and it flows throughout all of existence and eternity. That's why anything that God says to us, he's never saying to us in a moment. But he's always speaking to us over all of eternity. So he's letting us know. He's letting us know in this text of the purpose of his, the purpose of his glory and the process by which he brings us or fashions us or beautifies us, that we might be God's glory. Both the purpose and the process are fulfilled by way of Christ Jesus and his substitutionary life. That's why he says what he says in Colossians 1:27. What does he say, y'all? He says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is you. Which is your house. Which is what? Which is your talent. That's it. No. Pastor said, not your best life either. No, which is Christ in you, the assurance or the guarantee, the hope of glory. Listen, y'all, everything God does, he does through his son. There's nothing that God has ever done for us that he didn't do for us through Jesus Christ. He created us by his son. Before he was his son, he was his word. What did he say? And let us make man in our image. He spoke his word. And there was nothing that was made that wasn't made by the word of God, right? In John chapter 1. Then he had the nerve to save us by his son. We just heard it here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And all things are of God who has done what, y'all? Who has reconciled us to himself. How? By Jesus Christ. He saved us by his son. And then he communes with us and speaks to us by his son. Minister Tober always quotes Hebrews 1:1. What did he tell us? And I don't know it by heart, so I got to turn to it and read it. What did he tell us? He said, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets in the old days. Stop letting people prophesy over you, number one. Hath in these last days spoken to us. How? By his son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Who being the brightness of, I'll just keep on reading, bringing the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. He speaks to us by way of his word, which is his son. And then guess what, y'all? He's going to redeem us by way of his son. Read Revelations. When he comes back, and he brings all things back to himself and restores all things back to himself by way of his son. There's nothing that God does for us. There is nothing that God has ever done for us that has any eternal value that he hasn't done by way of his son, Jesus Christ. It's Christ. And the glory is his work. What does he tell us in Ephesians chapter 2? What did he say? He says, and we what? He says, for by grace are ye saved. Through faith and not of yourselves. But it's the gift of God. Not of works. In other words, not of your works. Or my works. Lest any man should boast.
But look at what he says. He says, for we are the workmanship. Created where? In Christ Jesus. For the purpose of what? Good works, which God has before ordained that we should do what? So in other words, he's created us for the purpose of good works, but not your good works. Because you and me, I don't want to offend nobody. I don't have good works. The Bible has already declared that my righteousness is of as a filthy rag. So when he talks about the fact that we are the workmanship, meaning that God is doing the molding and the shaping, and the conforming and the fixing, and the making and the recreating us in the image of Jesus Christ, so that the life of Christ can be permeated and manifested from us, so that Christ can do his work. Our job is simply put at the end of this verse that we should walk in them. God's glory is not you working and you doing. God's work is in us dying and submitting. That's his glory, church. That's his glory. It's of no works of righteousness that I've done. But it's when I've laid myself, when I've come to an end of myself. Because here's the thing, and we say it all the time, y'all. Guess what? God has not called us to do what we can do. He's called us to do what he can do. That's why he tells us now unto him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly. That means more than we can do. Above what we can ever ask or think. Then he tells us how, according to the power that works in us. That's that power. If you go up somewhere around verses 14, 15, wherever, he said that we might be strengthened with might by his power in the inner man, that represents the life or the spirit of Jesus Christ, the spirit of the living God that lives in us. According to his power or according to his life. Why? Because it's his life. It's the Christ in us that brings glory unto God. We can come in church. We can have a wonderful shouting good time. We can sing and we can blow the roof off of this place. But guess what, y'all? If our heart's not right, he is not glorified. Choir can have every single part down pat. Sing as loud as they can sing. But if our hearts are not broken to the life of Jesus Christ, he's not glorified. We can go out on the street and we can tell everybody about Jesus Christ. But if it's not Christ speaking and living through us, he is not glorified. Because many are going to say unto him on that day, we did a whole bunch of stuff in your name. And you know what? He's going to declare unto the one whose life is not broken to the life of Jesus Christ, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I don't know you because I don't see my son. That's why we preach this message. That's why we rather have y'all sitting quiet, confounded. Some of y'all mad right now. Instead of you up on your feet, talk about preach it, preacher. Oh, yeah, because we don't believe in church on the surface. Because if this word does not penetrate your heart, then all of this stuff that we do is in vain. That's why, this is the thing. Formality is out the door. I can't exegete this text. I can't worry about hermeneutics and homiletics and all that stuff that they try to teach you and all this other stuff. That thing does not have a place right now. We've got to know something in our hearts. And it's Christ Jesus. It's Christ, y'all. And that's the thing. And here's the thing, right? It's not that, it's nothing we can give. Don't get me wrong. Praise, worship, all those things have their place. Even obedience, those things are all a response. We're not giving glory to God when we do those things. We do those things because we've been beautified and glorified by God. They are a response. And as a result of living, it comes by way of the result of living in the knowledge and the awareness of the unsearchable, unfathomable, unquantifiable, indescribable privilege of this fellowship that we have with Jesus Christ. Praise is our response. Rejoicing is our response. You must first have been glorified before we can even give him glory. Because his glory is the very reflection of his son. And until I've been beautified by that life, there is no glory. He's the glory. It's the product of us enjoying Christ. Here's the thing. And Christ enjoying us. It's bidirectional. It's reciprocal. It's what we have in one another. That's why fellowship is the ultimate goal, y'all. And we say it all the time. Fellowship. It's at there. That's fellowship is the intersection of where we meet God. And guess what? It's where we get what we need the most. And he gets what he wants the most. We get him. And he gets us. That's what this whole thing is all about. That's what this salvation is all about. And the thing is, we can be in church a million years, have heard the word of God and accepted it. Thank you, Jesus, I'm saved. And still miss out on the glory of God. Because we're not living to be in agreement or to be fellowship with God. We have the means, but we've never experienced the end. Our salvation is a means. He went to the cross to deal with the very thing that separated us from him. Not so that he can then save us and put us on a shelf. But so that we can enjoy one another. That's the purpose. And guess what? I'm here to tell you right now. There are so many people in church. You save, or you say you're saved, not for me to judge, but you are miserable. And you're cheating God out of what he wants. You are. Listen, y'all, and this is the thing. That's why God hates a murmurer and a complainer. He hates it. He said, six things I despise and seven I hate. You know why? Because the murmurer and the complainer is the one who says, God, you're not enough. I'm not satisfied in Jesus Christ. Therefore, all day long, everything you see, you got a problem with. Because your focus ain't on Jesus. No glory. No glory. We need to take inventory of what he's done and who he is. And guess what? It don't matter, y'all. It don't matter if it ain't right. Oh, I came to church and so. Oh, my goodness, you should have seen what she did and what she had. Who cares? Don't get me wrong. There's order. There must be order. Absolutely. But order ain't going to happen until we line up. Personally, and that lining up is the that when he says, for he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. What he did is he positioned us in himself. That's the order. his life in my stead. You know what the order is? Christ is first, Christ is second, Christ is third, Christ is fourth. Christ is, we just got done singing, God is my everything. He's everything. There is no me. Outside of how he's beautified and loved me in himself, outside of that, there is no me. There's only him. And he's got to be enough. He's got to be enough. Everything emanates. Every single thing, every other thing emanates from our position in Jesus Christ. Joy, peace, validation, affirmation, fulfillment. That's the glory of God. Those things come as a result of me and him being yoked up. I can't make enough money to get peace. There's not an expensive enough car that's going to bring me pleasure and validation. I love her more than anything else besides Jesus Christ, but my wife's love can't validate me. It's Christ. It's only him. He's the only one, y'all. He's the only one. And that's why he wants us to surrender our hearts above all things. Because until we surrender, he can't take his rightful place. That's why he says, and here's the thing, y'all. That's why he says in Psalms 51:16, he tired of burnt offerings and sacrifices. He said, I don't delight in those things. I don't delight in you showing up for church just because it's the thing to do on Sunday. I don't delight in your organ playing and your singing outside of your heart being broken to me, because I don't have the ability. There's not enough charisma and talent in the world, in me or anybody else, to bring God glory. It's only Jesus Christ. I delight not in burnt offerings or sacrifices, but what he desires is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart that he rejoices in it, that he will not despise. You know why? Because everything we do out of a broken heart is Christ. Everything done out of a broken heart is Christ and not us. It's Jesus. And he's the only one who knows how to give God glory. Because he is God's glory. And when he's in us, guess what? And we've died to self, and his life is being magnified, and he's the one doing the work in the pantry, and he's the one doing the work in the kitchen committee, and he's the one meeting folk at the door when you're ushering. That's right. And he's the one collecting the offering and the tithes. And he's the one up singing. And he's the one up preaching. Guess what? God is glorified. Right. Amen. But if Marlon is doing, all you're getting is a show. It's got to be him. And that's why we can get up and be flat-footed and preach God's word. And not preach to entertain and impress, but to impact. Because it's got to be Christ. 2 points in the text. And I promise you, they're short points. They're short points. Both of these texts, the ultimate goal is glory through the substitutionary life of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about his substitutionary life on the cross. That's his purpose. Romans 8 talks about his substitutionary life in us. That's our purpose. And that's how his glory is revealed. 2 Corinthians 5:18-21. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Not imputing their truth. And this is the part. Listen, I don't know how, when you hear these words and it does not do something to your heart. He got the short end of the stick. Sin was imputed on our Savior, and righteousness was imputed on us. What in the world? How does that work? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, for this purpose, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, y'all, simply put, he took our place. That's the substitutionary life of Christ. He took our place. And as a result of taking our place, he was glorified, because it glorified us. Glorified through substitution. What did he say when he was preparing to go to the cross in John 12:23? What did he say, church? And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be what? Glorified. He's about to go to the cross. He was speaking of the cross. His glory. Y'all, the cross was his glory. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, bring forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Listen, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But he says, but for this cause, that's his purpose. See, Christ didn't come to perform miracles. He just did all that stuff on the way to the cross. We love to focus on the miracles he performed, because listen, and that's the spirit that's still in the church today. We love a good performance. But we won't hear nothing about death. But yet, that's why he came. That's his purpose. But for this cause came I unto this hour. And in this, God, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, and I'm going to glorify it again. How is he glorified in the cross, y'all? Because of what the cross accomplished, brought him great pleasure. He said, unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it's all by himself. But he said, but if it dies, that's why he glorified. This is why he was glorified in the cross. Because it brought forth much. Who is that fruit? We are. That's why he was glorified in death, because of what his death produced. It produced children made and conformed in the likeness of his son. The cross brought us back to him. That's why I kept having y'all circle that when he said, we've been reconciled to him. Right? Verse 18, verse 19, Colossians 1, I think 20. Every time he talks about reconciliation, he talks about the fact that we've been reconciled to him. You know why? Because he could not wait to get to us. We are God's glory, those who have been called by his name. Those who have answered this call to salvation and reconciliation. Then God starts the work. And Pastor Wright was dealing with this on Thursday, talking about the wheel and the potter and how the potter shapes and molds the clay. Once we've been called, once we've answered the call, then the shaping begins. And the glory of God is being turned on that wheel. That glory is us. You ain't saying hallelujah on the wheel. You ain't shouting on the wheel. You ain't being religious on the wheel. You know what that clay is doing? That clay is laying there. Prostrate. For God to have his perfect way. And guess what? When he's done with that wheel, when he's done with that clay, man, that's some beautiful, that's something beautiful. And you know what he does? He holds it up, just like that parent who sowed into their child and engrafted the principles in that child and lived right before that child. He says it is good. He's glorified in it. That's what happened on the cross, y'all. And then Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29. Look at what he says. Starting at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for the good. First of all, that's the product and the fruit of his glory. Covenant promises are the fruit. The fulfillment of covenant promises are the fruit of the glory of God. But then he says, listen, but it's specific because it's covenant. He says they work together for everybody. That's what he said. Oh. He says, for we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to them who are the called. In other words, those who have been identified, planted by replacement, those who heard what he said, that he who knew no sin became sin for us. Those who righteousness was imputed upon, to them who are the called, according to his purpose. Then he explains his purpose. He says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate or purpose to be what? To be conformed. To what? What are we being conformed to? The image. The image. What's another word for image? Likeness. Reflection of his son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. His glory. God's glory. He's glorified in the reflection of him. So listen, just like that, not in a vain, conceited type of way. Look at that boy looking like me. Look at that girl looking. No, not in that way. Because when we're operating, when we're being conformed and we're operating in agreement and fellowship with God, we're living out all the blessings of the covenant promises of God. God is glorified in our doing well in Him. That's His glorify. That's His glory. You have all the money in the world. Be doing well in your business or in your vocation. Have education. House up on a hill. Nice car. All that stuff that the world propels. And be thanking and giving God glory for all this stuff. And it didn't even come from God. You could be somebody getting their food from the pantry, barely scratching and paying your bills, struggling every day to get back and forth to work, and be the most blessed person in the world if you're found in Him. If Christ's life is being cultivated, y'all, listen, and I'm done right here. That's salvation. That's what this salvation, somehow we've taken the church experience and have wrapped up our salvation when actually it's not that at all. The salvation experience is a personal one. And it's not played out in church. It's actually played out in your closet. Because that's what He went to the cross for. And in that place, when I tell you, He wants to glorify you and beautify you and validate you and assure you and keep you safe and give you joy and give you peace. Because that's His glory. That's what He wants for every single one of us. You can't get it in this world. You can't get it by chasing things that break, depreciate, run off, run out, and die. Can't. They will leave you disappointed every single time. Amen. There's no failure in Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no disappointment in Christ Jesus. Amen. He said, joy unspeakable. That's what we dealt with on Thursday. And full of glory as he thought about what he had in Jesus Christ. Church, we have everything. Listen, and it's the knowledge of what we have in Jesus Christ. And that being our living experience. Guess what, y'all? I got news for you. I fail more times than I succeed. That's what Paul said. Paul said, listen, not that I have apprehended, but this one thing I do, that I might apprehend that which I have been apprehended of, which is Christ Jesus. Therefore, I'm forgetting those things which are by all the mistakes, all the mishaps and all those things where I fell short. I'm forgetting those things which are behind me. And I'm reaching forth to those things which are before me. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. Where is it at? It's in Jesus. Man, we have to have tunnel vision for Christ. Guess what, y'all? When we've got tunnel vision for Him, He makes provision. He makes provision for where we mess up. That's why you ain't got no business running around here chasing after conduct. That's not what this salvation is about. That's where the enemy wants you. No, we're chasing Christ. He'll handle the conduct. He'll deal with the shortcomings and the mishaps. The enemy wants you focused on what you did wrong yesterday. God says, no, I can't fix you like that. I need you focused on me. And then next thing you know, you look back. You're like, when in the world did the Lord deliver me from that? I'm serious. I'm a witness. When I stopped focusing on the stuff and I got my attention on him. And guess what, y'all? He rejoices over it. Listen, and God causes all things. He stands ready to take the good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly, and the indifferent. He takes it and he jumbles it all up together. And he works it out for our good. Moreover, to whom he did predestinate, them he also called. To them he also justified. He positioned us. He made us righteous. And to them he positioned, he glorified. That's his glory as we stand. And there might be one here. And guess what, y'all? Man, I'm learning some stuff in my old age. I'm telling you. You know what I'm learning? That we don't have time. We don't have time to be playing with this gospel. We don't. We don't have time to be fancying this stuff. We've got to get the Word of God off the shelf and in our heart. All I can do is get up here and open my mouth and pray that truth comes out. No points. There's no entertainment value in this word. None whatsoever. But there is eternal value. When this word hits your heart, and it goes from being scripture to the word, there's a difference. There's a difference. This is scripture. It's holy nonetheless, but it ain't the word until it gets in your heart. And until that happens, there's no glory. He's glorified. He was always glorified. He's God Jehovah. But what he wants is us to experience the glory of fellowship with him. And in order for that to happen, this word has to break our heart to agreement. And that's when this reciprocated, bi-directional, glorified experience becomes real in the life of his children. Not until then. Not because you came to church. Not because you came and listened to sermons. Not because you served on an auxiliary. Not because your name is on the roll. Because you've submitted and surrendered to the substitutionary life of Jesus Christ. Maybe there's one here today. You've discovered something in whatever age you are. That we can't play with this thing. And that church on the surface ain't good enough. But you want to know him. The power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his suffering. To be made conformable to his death.
In other words, you want to be made conformable to his life. You want to know him in that way. Guess what, y'all? That's the only way to truly know him. We invite you to come this morning. As the choir sings, our second call. You're in a broken relationship with him. I'm so glad. The Bible says that he's married to the backslider. You know what that means? You can't get rid of him that easy. He's always hoping for you. He's always hoping for me. He's always calling us back to himself. That's our second call. He wants to restore us. He wants to renew us. He wants to fashion us in his love, his grace, and his mercy. Is there one today, as the choir sings?
Bend down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. You are the living word.
You desire prayer, we ask you to come to the altar.
Sit down from glory.
Sit down from glory.
Many things you were. Sit down from glory. Anything you have, a holy king, a carpenter. Awesome ruler, your redeemer, God with us.
Awesome ruler.
Some ruler.
Y'all hear this? This is our God.
God with us. God with us. The living true and wise.